Well, brothers and sisters, we're now going to have some more time to enjoy the Lord in singing and prayer before the message starts. And so the next hymn we'll sing, number 841 in English, 381 in Chinese, and 359 in Spanish. Amen. So we'll switch it back to the Hall 1 Working Saints.
We're going to sing 841.
Nature. us thou see.
Amen.
Glorifying thee.
Thy anointing spirit.
Amen.
Shall permit.
Amen.
Amen. Lord Jesus.
Amen.
For
thy life abundant.
Right.
Flowing rich and free.
Amen.
Constantly refreshes.
Right.
And empowers me.
Amen.
For your flowing rich free life, Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
That my life is swallowed.
Amen.
Stay strong. Amen. All my bones are broken. Gloom is hurt.
Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. All right, brothers and sisters, let's go on to sing hymn number 546. 546. 333 in Chinese, 255 in Spanish.
May the love of mine.
Amen.
We have none to give.
Amen.
Right.
That's right.
Lord, we give you ourselves in a fresh way.
Amen.
Come back to you as our source,
amen.
Our center, and our dwelling place.
Amen.
All right, we just come back to you as our source.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, we need you as our grace.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, grace us and supply us tonight.
Amen.
Pour your blessing and your rich presence upon us.
Amen.
Lord, pour out yourself tonight.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, thank you. You are everything we need.
Yes.
Amen.
We would gain more of you tonight.
Amen.
Anoint your word, Lord.
Amen.
Fill us with yourself tonight.
Amen.
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 Yes, Lord. Lord, anoint your word this evening.
Right.
Amen.
We pray each one of us would receive a personal speaking from you.
Yeah. Right.
Our hearts are full of gratitude to have this time together.
Amen.
We do look to you and anticipate your poured out blessing.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we thank you and we praise you.
Amen.
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 Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, we'll go ahead and start the message now. We can turn it to Brother Ricky.
Well, greetings, dear saints. I want to make sure you can hear me okay. Yes, hallelujah. Well, I think I say this every year, but this is one of the events that I look forward to the most in all of our calendar of all the conferences that we have. As Brother Aaron said, we've been doing this for a number of years. Actually, we began in this kind of format in 2007. So this is actually the 14th year that we've been carrying out a conference like this. And at first, it was something just to meet a local need. But then the churches in New Jersey, which almost just feel like part of the church in New York. I mean, we're just together all the time. Of course, it was open to them, and it's kind of gotten enlarged. And probably through this means, tonight we probably will have the broadest audience that we've ever had for a fellowship like this. And we certainly welcome all the saints. Maybe I'll start by reading some these verses to you. About a month ago, as I started to consider our time together for this weekend, and praying for you, praying for many of you, and even many of your faces coming to me, something rose up in me. I believe it was from the Lord. From the book of First Thessalonians, and the key verses tonight will be from First Thessalonians. We haven't given you any scripture reading yet, but I can tell you that the two key verses are this: 1 Thessalonians 1:3, and 1 Thessalonians 5:8. 1:3 and 5:8. We'll read those in a moment, and. Probably I should add verses 23 and 24 in chapter five. But saints, in this book is a very tender book of Paul's fellowship with some young believers that were very much on his heart. And, of course, all of you are still relatively young believers, not necessarily new believers, but still young believers, at least in relation to some of us. And I'd like to read these to you. This is from chapter 2. You know, in chapter 2, Paul opens up his heart very much to these dear ones that are so close to his heart. And he says that he and the brothers were in their midst as a nursing mother. and as an exhorting father. So this is the relationship that he felt he had and indeed did have with them. And he says this, he says, but we brothers, I'm reading from 2:17 through 20, the end of the chapter. But we brothers, having been bereaved of you for a little while in presence, not in heart, were more abundantly eager with great desire to see your face. Therefore, we wanted to come to you. Indeed, I, Paul, both once and again, yet Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Are not even you? For you are our glory and joy. And as I was in this portion, I felt that I, and actually we brothers, could borrow these verses to express the sentiment that is in our heart toward you. We do feel somewhat bereaved of you for a little while in presence. Surely we wish we could have such a gathering in person. And even to just to see one another, I think would bring a great comfort, great joy. But of course, this is better than nothing. And at least we can see one another's faces. And just to see the faces is a joy. I think usually at the end of these gatherings, we open up so we can greet one another. I don't think we'll be doing that tonight because we do want to leave time for small groups. So we're going to go to breakout rooms and we're not going to close those to come back. But we do sense a kind of loss. There is a kind of an aching in our heart, very tangible, of losing each other's presence. And that's because there's something behind that. There is an intimacy. There is a love that I think I can say this representing all the brothers, that there's this kind of concern over you all. How are you? And we wish we could go to each of you to ask, how are you? How have you been? And Paul did this in this book. You know, I mentioned that the key verse is 1:3. And from this one verse, actually, I've drawn so much burden in this last month. And I like to read that to you. Of course, if you have your Bible with you, you can read along. We're not going to project it or anything, you know, as we sometimes do. But if you don't have your Bible, it's okay. Just be under the hearing of faith. It says, remembering unceasingly your work of faith and labor of love and endurance of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ before our God and Father. And here, saints, these three phrases are really our burden, particularly for this first session and tomorrow, the second session. Your work of faith and labor of love, and endurance of hope. Faith, love, hope. Faith, love, hope. How's your faith? How has your faith been? You know, in the Timothys, it talks about being healthy in the faith. Healthy in the faith. We have faith. Never say you don't have faith. I'm going to come to this point in a moment. You have faith, but could be a little lacking in the faith. The faith might not be exercised in us. And actually, faith is mentioned. The three things, faith, love, and hope, are mentioned throughout this book. Very interesting. If you go back yourself, and I would encourage you, such a short book, you could read easily in one sitting, to check how many times Paul talked about faith. I think in these 8 chapters of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, he mentions faith 12 times. But in chapter 3, quite a number of times. How many? At least 1, 2, 3, 4 times in chapter 3. And this is, I'm going to read these verses from chapter 3, 1 Thessalonians 3. Paul sent Timothy to the believers because they were bereaved of their presence. They didn't have them. They missed them so much. This is what this word means. As if they died. That kind of loss of a parent losing a child. That's what that word bereaved, the sense of that word. They longed to be with them so much as we with you. That Paul sent Timothy to see, how's their faith? How's their faith? Listen to this, 3:2 and 3:5. And we sent Timothy, our brother and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish and encourage you for the sake of your faith. They sent Timothy to encourage their faith a little more. I like this word, these words, establish and encourage. Oh, saints, all of these verses, if we would just spend a little time before the Lord just to pray over, oh, Lord, establish my faith a little more. Encourage me in my faith a little more. And then pray for the ones that we're concerned over. And then verse 5, particularly, listen to this. Because of this, when I also could bear it no longer, I sent to find out concerning your faith. Lest perhaps the tempter had tempted you and our labor would be in vain. Do you catch the feeling here, saints? Paul, he couldn't bear it any longer. How are they? Some of you, we haven't been together in 6 months in person. There's a longing within us. Oh, that we could find out how, not just how are you. Do you see specifically? Paul wanted to know, not just how are you, how are you doing? How's your faith? How's your faith? Lest the tempter had come. He was concerned about the enemy's temptation. And you know, when we hear this word tempter, I don't know about you, but I know myself as a younger believer, I always would think, oh, you know, being tempted to sin. So tempted to fall in some way. Do you know that we also have to fear that the tempter would tempt us to doubt, would tempt us to receive the seeds of doubt? We have to guard against what Hebrews calls an evil heart of unbelief. Do you know that having the doubt maybe is more evil than some sins? Paul calls that an evil heart of unbelief. The enemy wants to sow the seeds of doubt that, oh, we're just not strong enough. We're not good enough. Oh, the Lord doesn't love me. Oh, dear saints. Oh, we need to be concerned about our own faith. Actually, all those around us too. We need to have the same intimate concern. But then verse 6, it says, but Timothy, having just come to us from you and announcing the good news to us of your faith and love. Oh, can you imagine that Timothy came back with a good report because their faith was doing well? Isn't that marvelous? And that you have kind remembrance of us always and long to see us just as we also you. What an intimate expression, the intimacy between Paul and those believers. Night and day, verse 10, night and day petitioning exceedingly so that we may see your face and complete the things that are lacking in your faith. Oh, dear saints, I want to tell you again, this is our desire. There'll be a number of brothers speaking to you this weekend. And the desire in each heart is this, oh, to see your face and fill up any lack of your faith. Even the Thessalonians were quite good. They were healthy in their faith. Timothy encouraged them in their faith. And Paul still said, I'd like to see you to fill up what's lacking. There could be more. There could be more encouragement. Dear saints, we're so concerned that over these 6 months, this has been such a challenge for everyone. We understand. For us too. The pressures of human life that many, many saints are facing, the pressures that many parents with young children, among us tonight, there are so many, that are dealing with this. Now school's back, and the choice of in person and not, depending on what school district you're in and what state you're in, and the state of affair, you know, how it is in your area, just a lot of things. Life was already difficult enough. I know that. And with parents with young children, there's no manual for parenting. Already we could have had fellowship, there'd be many questions. And now this is put on all of us. Many saints uprooted from their living situations, because we know from New York, actually, we have so many that are from other places. And when the things got so bad in New York, many saints, many families, you know, they left the city, especially Manhattan, to go to other places. And then the uncertainty, do you go back? When do you go back? What do we do? What's the future like? What is even our church life going to look like? So many things, so many things. Dear saints, be assured, we also are considering all of these things. But the thing is, this could affect your faith. This could affect your faith. In the midst of all these things, we need to keep our eyes on the Lord. You know, just like Peter, remember that story? The disciples are being tossed in the sea, and then the Lord comes walking on the sea, just overcoming everything. Just walking on the sea. And then they see, they're afraid, actually. They're afraid, and the Lord says, you know, don't be afraid, it is I. Peter says, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to you. Bid me to come to you. There's a secret in what Peter said. Peter didn't just jump out and jump in the water. The Lord Jesus had to tell him, the Lord Jesus had to speak the faith, the ability into him to walk on the water. He said, bid me to come to you. Call me to come to you. If the Lord hadn't spoken it, Peter shouldn't have gone in. And so he goes in, and he's actually doing it. He's doing what no other human being, just these two, have ever done. All the things you see, you know, we see these in comic books and movies and all that. That's all false. Two people did it. They walked on the water. But Peter temporarily, till what? It says, and he saw the wind. He took his eyes off the Lord. His faith just, whew, he just went down. But it was okay, because as soon as he started sinking, Jesus, you know, I've wondered, how far was Jesus when, we don't know. How far was Jesus when, like, if he was that close to say, come to me, then, actually, do you understand? There's a little dilemma there. It says, come to me. So Peter started walking. Then he started sinking. It almost like when he sank, Jesus got closer. Yeah. So don't worry about it. You lack faith? Don't worry about it. Exercise the faith you have. Actually, according to the Lord Jesus, we all have faith. You know, it says in Peter, we have been allotted equally precious faith. We all have the faith, saints. We all have. We've been allotted equally precious. Your faith is same as mine. Mine is same as yours. But we have to exercise it. We have to exercise it. You know, in Luke 17, there's a story that the apostles, it's very interesting, it doesn't say the disciples, the apostles say, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. And then the Lord Jesus talks about, if you had the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you'd be able to say to the sycamine tree, be uprooted and planted into the sea. We might take that, and I'll be honest with you, before I read this in the ministry, I had a different thought. We might think, oh, I don't even have the faith of a mustard seed. That we might take it that way, like on the negative side. No, that's not what that means. That means even that little faith is powerful enough to cause action. And you have at least that little faith. Just like in Revelation, it says, you have a little power. You have a little power. I hope we all say, wherever we are right now, I have a little power. Can we say that together? One, two, three. I have a little power. Amen. And we can say, I have faith. Can we say that? I have faith. I have faith. You have faith. But you know, in Hebrews, let's come back to Hebrews. It says that the word spoken did not profit them, not being mixed together with faith. Saints, we need to exercise our faith. We need to mix the word that we hear with faith. You know, something very, very interesting to me, this word has also been with me over the last month or so. This is also from Luke, Luke 18, 18:8. Says, I tell you that when, that he will carry out their avenging quickly. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? That's about faith. When the Son of Man comes, when the Lord comes, he's going to be looking. Where's faith? Who has faith? Do you know? Do you realize? Maybe you never thought about this. But this verse shows us that a lacking of faith among God's people is actually a sign of the Lord's coming. He tells us that when he comes, he'll be looking. It's just like in Isaiah. In Isaiah, I think many of you are familiar with this portion. It says that the Lord looked to see if there was an intercessor on the earth. If there's an and he was appalled. He was appalled. I believe that's the word the Bible uses. He was appalled that there was no one. There was no intercessor. It's like he was shocked. No intercessor. In the same way, the Son of Man, it was looking. Where's faith? Where's faith? Faith will be lacking. And I believe, saints, among the Lord's children, not just we in the Lord's recovery, among all of the Lord's children, the situations of the last months have tested people's faith. Have tested people's faith. And I believe we're not immune. And so we need to be awakened to see that, oh, this is a sign of the Lord's coming. And then not be those that are in this condition. Not allow ourselves to be those who remain in such a condition. But rather, just exercise the faith that we do have. That we do have. You know, that's about faith. Concerning love, in Matthew 24. In Matthew 24, 12, it says, and because lawlessness will be multiplied, the love of the many will grow cold. And actually, saints, again, this is not talking about unbelievers. This is talking about the Lord, among the Lord's people. Can you imagine that when the Lord returns, many of his children will be cold in their heart? Saints, again, this is a kind of sign of the coming of the Lord. And again, I have to say, from my contact with the saints, locally, in the region, and in actually a number of places, I realize these are really trying times, saints. We can't get around that. These are really trying times, and so many decisions we have to make, and the isolation. Many saints trying to be careful and so on. And of course, you need to do what you need to do for your family and according to your conscience. But the isolation really is causing some saints distress. We realize that. Causing saints real distress. Because we're not made this way. We're made to be social. Actually, we're made to be in the church life. To flock together. And so even though we have these meetings online and so on, I know, actually among the brothers, among the co-workers, among the serving brothers, among the elders, the leading brothers, we talk a lot about Zoom fatigue, screen fatigue. It's a very real thing. How can we get around it? How can we avoid it? But then if you avoid it, oh, you risk something, saints. You risk removing yourself from the opportunity of having the hearing of faith. I'll mention some things in my conclusion, but how to strengthen our faith. I'm getting there. But I hope that we could see something and that this would cause us to a response in us. Lord, I like to exercise my faith. I like to exercise my faith. And I like to be concerned for the faith of the ones around me. All those around me, Lord. And not only their faith, their love. Their love for you. I know sometimes we're just discouraged. I don't love the Lord enough. Have you ever said that? Or I should say, have you never said that? I just feel like I don't love the Lord enough, or I don't love the Lord like I used to, or I don't love the Lord as much as him or as much as her. And saints, we should tell ourselves, shut up. Maybe you need to stop that. That's the tempter. We shouldn't fall for the temptation from the tempter. The love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. The love of God has been poured out into your heart. No, you don't love God naturally. Neither do I. We never have. There's never been a human being who loved God naturally. It says we love because he first loved us. The love which God has in us, that's a phrase in 1 John 4. The love which God has in, it's his love in us that now echoes toward him. How to have love? We've illustrated this. We've illustrated this many times. It's actually the same way how to have faith. You know, strictly speaking, that verse in, what is it? 1 John 4:8. Or is it, sorry, 19. We love him because he first loved us. The King James. We love him because he first loved us. In the Recovery Version, it says, we love because he first loved us. That word him is actually in italics in the King James. Because it's like this, we love, it's like God loves us. And it's like we have a mirror that just reflects God's love back to him. The only way we can love is if we put ourselves in front of that beam of love, then we love him back. And now, according to 1 John, we love, and that, in 1 John, it's in the context of loving the brothers, loving one another. So, okay, same principle, except if I just tilt this a little bit down, then it's right to you. But it comes from here. When I'm facing God, I love him. Then when I just tilt a little bit to you, he's still the source. So we don't have love. Do you want to love God more? Spend time with God. And you can't help but love him. Spend a little time. And then say amen to the word of God, that the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. Just say amen to that. Pray read that. And if pray reading by yourself doesn't strengthen you, call a sister, call a brother, pray read together. You'll get the faith. Because then you'll also have the hearing of faith at the same time. And then hope, saints, hope. Saints, I do feel over these past months, I've touched a number that it just feels no hope. You know, it's the endurance of hope. It does seem like a number of saints are low in the endurance column, low levels of endurance. And it shows, we end up taking it out on one another, especially roommates and the spouses. The endurance. And they're all tied together. Faith, love. If you have the faith and the love, you'll have the endurance. You'll have the endurance of hope. And actually, yes, all of them are Christ. Christ is our hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory. But in a practical way. in a practical way. Faith, the hope issues from taking care of faith and love. You know, each of the chapters of 1 Thessalonians, each of the five chapters, end with something related to the Lord's coming. It's very interesting. These were very young believers. This church was the youngest church of all the other churches, Corinth, Ephesus, all the churches. This had the youngest believers there. Of course, initially Philippi, but by the time the story in Acts 16, they were all newly saved. But by the time the book was written, they had already progressed some. But by the time Thessalonians was written, those believers still quite young. And Paul says, you remember, we told you. It's very interesting. We know that Paul and the brothers were with these Thessalonian believers probably not more than 3 weeks. And so these very young believers, Paul charged them with the matter of the Lord's coming. You know, that shows us, saints, wherever we're at, we should have a living in the light of the Lord's coming. Now, this was spoken to first century believers. I'm speaking tonight to 21st century believers, 21st century young believers. Saints, don't you feel we should be paying even more attention to what Paul says in these chapters, preparing us for the Lord's coming? And how do you prepare? The structure of our Christian life is faith, love, and hope. If we take care of these, saints, if we take care of these, there will be a very tangible outcome in our home life, in our marriage life, in our parenting. There will be a supply for us. There'll be a supply for us. Now, I want to come to chapter 5, verse 8. I told you this is the second key verse, and actually, my strong burden tonight lies here, saints. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. Let me read this to you. I'm going to read verses 23 and 24 also. 8, 23 and 24. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and a helmet, the hope of salvation. Did you see there? Faith, love, hope. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and a helmet, the hope of salvation. And the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, who also will do it. By chapter 5, you can see that faith, love, and hope become our armor. This is precious, saints. You know, in warfare, when you're fighting, the main thing you have to protect is here, the heart and the head. You have to take care of the breast. You have to have a breastplate. Saints, in the spiritual warfare, you have to have this spiritual armor. You have to have a breastplate. You have to have a spiritual body armor, spiritual Kevlar. And a helmet, because the enemy attacks the head and the heart. The enemy's attack, according to Ephesians 5, we have that there also. Here, it's the breastplate of faith and love. In Ephesians, it's the breastplate of righteousness. Actually, they're related, because our faith and love are very much tied to our conscience. Very much tied. And 1 Timothy chapter 1, you see this connection. Our faith, love, and a good conscience. Faith, love, and a good conscience are put together. If we take care of our conscience in all the small things, don't let things go. Be strict with ourselves. Enjoy the cleansing of the blood. Oh, actually, our faith will increase. The love will be, love will be the issue. Love will be the issue. So we have to have the breastplate. We have to have such a covering, saints. And a helmet, the hope of salvation. In Ephesians, it talks about the fiery darts, the fiery darts. Saints, these days, you may not realize that through what we pay attention to, through what we read, we see in the media, it could be even just reading the news is weakening our faith. It seeds are being put into us. It puts, and it's very possible, we're putting our hope on something else, on some change in the environment, on some change in the society, even some change in the government. You know, faith, love, and hope. Faith, love, and hope. Faith is really connected to our will. Faith is connected to our will, as well as our conscience. We need to exercise to believe. No one with a wishy-washy will could believe into the Lord. Your faith will be weak. We need to exercise. We need to exercise our faith. Actually, it has to do with our will. Love, of course, has to do with our emotion. And you know, hope is affected by our understanding, by the things in our mind. And so, if what we're putting into our mind, if we're continually putting into our mind, is in a certain realm, eventually, it's very possible our hope is based on those things. I'm not saying don't keep up with the news. I'm just saying, be careful what you eat. Be careful what you eat. We all, as believers, have to have a kind of spiritual screen to take things from a proper perspective. You know, in the conference in Memorial Day, where I know many of you were there, we talked about the heavenly scene. The heavenly scene that Daniel saw this. There's a spiritual realm behind everything. Oh, saints, we need that. If you have that understanding, you'll have hope, even in the midst of what's going on today, particularly here in the United States. Many things are topsy-turvy and uncertain. And it brings anxiety. It wears on you. But if we touch the Word of God, I tell you, all of these, faith, love, and hope, have a lot to do with our contact with the Word. If we come back to the Word, read the Word, if we're in the meetings to have the hearing of faith, I tell you, our hope will be solid and we'll have endurance. Maybe I was thinking to wait till later, but maybe I'll say this now, a little aside. I'm going to come back to this matter of Zoom fatigue or screen fatigue, but also other things related to our online meetings. I've heard from actually a number of places that a number of our young people just can't take it anymore. And they're not interested in the church meetings in this format. We sympathize. We're not blaming, and we can't blame anybody. But many of our, particularly our brothers, and this is high school brothers, college brothers, and young adult brothers, and sometimes it seems that this population is more missing from our meetings than any other segment. You know, very interesting that when we first started online, it seemed that, I know about a few other places, but I know at New York City, our attendance started to increase. We actually increased 10% through about June, from March till June. And then slowly the numbers coming down in the meetings. And I think a number of other places have had the same experience. And we're concerned, but we're not blaming. We're just concerned. Why? Because if you forsake the assembling, then you're removing an opportunity for the hearing of faith. And so, saints, if these, and it's not just this group of brothers, if any are not in our midst, we need to find a way to just be with them. How about an old-fashioned phone call? Rather than, you know, Zoom or FaceTime or whatever. Just a call, even a text to say, how are you? Miss you. But saints, we need to, I would love to see if you don't ask a brother, hey, have you been in the meetings? You just call him, brother, would you read a chapter with me? Hey, could we set every Monday to read one chapter? Don't think that's insignificant. Imagine to call a brother or a sister. Just, hi, can we read the chapter? Okay, just read. If you read 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, it'll take you about a minute and a half. It's 10 verses. But you just, that's it. Don't fellowship. Don't even pray. You just, oh, Lord Jesus, we love you. Maybe one little prayer. Read, hang up. Don't think that won't bring in revival. Once a week, even. Imagine twice a week, three times a week. Daily? Okay, it won't go too far. But just touch the word, it will have effect. And then I'm also concerned for many of our young mothers, because, yeah, the meetings are, we think, oh, the meetings are in your home now. The meetings are, yeah, but so are the kids. And so when brothers are in their meetings, I'm talking about the married couples, and so, in some cases, the sister has to be in the other room keeping the kids quiet so that the meeting can go on. Oh, sisters, you need the hearing of faith. You need the hearing of faith. I don't care what kind of meeting. I don't care how slow or low in spirit that little meeting is. You might think, oh, it's not, you know, it doesn't matter. The word is being spoken there. You can get the hearing of faith. Oh, dear sisters, you need one another. You need the meetings. Although on the other side, I am encouraged because I have heard quite a number of reports, and I know this is the case among us here in New York. Some of the sisters are praying now together more than ever and had a daily prayer nonstop since March. We've never had such a thing. So that's encouraging. But not everyone is involved with that. So sisters, I hope we could have some connections to watch out for one another, to watch out for one another. Even just a little break to read the word together. And recently we mentioned, it doesn't need much time. I know, sisters, I know that with the children, and maybe you're working yourself and both working, now the kids in school, all this, it's impossible. But we have the God of impossibility. And it doesn't take, recently we shared this, 2 minutes. If you would just take 2 minutes in the word, you could be revived. The Lord understands. The Lord understands. It's not, the bar is not that high. And if it is, he can take you that high, however high that bar is. Oh, dear sisters, you need a supply. You need the supply. And the brothers need to find a way, facilitate the sisters getting that supply. It's not by preaching, brothers. It's just by a little facilitating and some understanding. But saints, my point is this. We need to be under the hearing of faith. We need to be under the hearing of faith. Maybe I would close with this, some practical ways. I've mentioned actually already, but I like to kind of outline it. Ways to strengthen our faith. And I've said this from many different angles, though, the word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. There's just something about the word. There's just something about the word. And that's whether you read the word, whether you listen to the word. You know, we have recordings of the scripture. Actually, I've promoted this very much in different occasions I think many saints actually have, because of the stay at home, the lockdown, have actually taken to getting some regular exercise. And so either go for a walk or for a run. I know the different ones or, you know, different kind of exercise. I tell you, just to put on your, you know, the earbuds and have one chapter read to you while you walk or while you run could revive you and could bring joy actually into your household, because you'll be preserved. Your faith will be strengthened. Or the hymns, the songs. Tomorrow I'm going to talk about the CDs, one particular one. Well, I could tell you now, Faith and Love. You know, we have a CD, Faith and Love. And maybe I'll give you homework if you could. I'd like to give you three notes if you had the time. Not even for your group time, for the group fellowship that you're going to have. But sometime tonight or tomorrow before we get together at 4, if you could read these three notes, it would be very good. That is 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3 on the matter of faith, love, and hope. Look at that note. 1 Thessalonians 5:8, the note on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet, the hope of salvation. That note, two notes. And the third note is Titus 3:15, note one. Titus 3:15, note one. Oh, saints, I think if you would read through these three notes prayerfully, I believe the Lord would give each of us a word. The Lord would give each of us a word more than what we brothers can say here. But to have the word, and we have the hymns or we have songs that are the word. Oh, I tell you, this one, we're going to sing it tomorrow. Hosea 6 has been strengthening me for 6 months now. Come. Let us return to Jehovah, for he has torn us, but he will heal us. Oh, and there's a song to that. There's in one of our CDs recently, we put that out and just playing that. And I just repeat, it finishes, repeat, finish, repeat as I'm walking. Oh, that could be more strengthening than 10 messages. It's the word, saints. It's not just enjoying the tune. It's that the word is being infused. Try it. Then faith is a matter of our spirit. In 2 Corinthians 4:13, it says, we having the same spirit of faith. I hope wherever you are, you could say with me, I have a spirit of faith. Can we say that? 1, 2, 3. I have a spirit of faith. Some of you are together with others. How about, so I see couples together. I see the saints in London sitting there together with the young people. Amen, saints. How about say to one another, you have a spirit of faith. You have a spirit of faith. Amen. That always makes me think of Brother Dick Taylor. I was praying for my brother Dick this week, thinking about him. Amen. I have a spirit of faith. Saints, we need to be careful about our speaking. Sometimes we speak our feeling. Sometimes we speak the things that are in the news, but we don't speak faith. The more we speak other things, the less faith we're going to experience. But if we speak the word, if we speak the reality, we'll speak faith into ourselves first, plus into our companions. The couples can actually speak faith to one another. We need the hearing, the speaking of faith and the hearing of faith. And then thirdly, we need the church. For to have faith, you need the church. You know, in Galatians, it says, we are members of the household of the faith. Just being with the saints gives you more faith. That's why we miss each other so much. But when we're together, we can have the hearing of faith. Just a little encouragement, just a little speaking. You just get together. I just tell you what I enjoyed. You share what you enjoyed. That we're revived. So saints, take care of your faith and take care of one another's faith. Faith, love, and hope. The work of faith, the labor of love, the endurance of hope. May these become our armor, our breastplate, and our helmet, that we could stand in the evil day, stand at the end of the age, and be ready for the imminent coming of our Lord. I'll just say that much, saints. We want to encourage you to have fellowship. We hope you all would stay on, and the brothers will show us, you know, guide us to have breakout rooms so that we can have some mutuality. We do believe, and we really mean this, the Lord could speak just as much in the breakout room, in the small group fellowship, as he can through the message. So please stay with us, and I'll turn the meeting back to Brother Aaron. Lord bless you all.
Amen. Amen. Well, so thankful for the word tonight that faith, love, and hope, they're not only the main structure of our Christian life, but they're even our armor in spiritual warfare, protecting us from God's enemy. And I don't know, you know, the way Brother Ricky opened the message concerning the concern of the brothers for all of us, just hearing that concern, I felt strengthened my faith this evening. So I'm just, again, so grateful to be here together with you all. So now we will we'll actually go into breakout rooms, and the brothers are going to set that up for us. And, you know, we hope that there's not a lot of time about, you know, we like to end at 9:30, and we don't want anybody to have to stay later than that. So if the fellowship's still going on in your group, you know, have the grace to go ahead and step out, but also feel free to continue. But since there may be limited time, we hope everyone would enter right in. Don't wait to share. Don't wait to fellowship. Just redeem the time and use it as best you can. We're going to actually broadcast by text into each group some suggested points for fellowship. Of course, don't feel restricted just to fellowship about that. But if the Lord would lead you, go ahead and go over those points. But we're going to set up the breakout rooms now. So wonderful to see all you saints and at least see your names tonight. And after the breakout rooms at 9:30, we will not be coming back together until tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll be starting our singing at 3:45, and the meeting itself will begin at 4:00. So we'll see you again then. Praise the Lord.